Okay, we're continuing in our study of Matiyahu, which is Matthew's Hebrew name. Again, in your English Bibles, he's referred to Matthew, but in Israel, they would refer to him as Matiyahu. And we're in Matthew 17, and again, we're going to continue through this so we get all the way through this study in the book of Matthew. So, hallelujah. Let's just open in prayer again. Elvina McCain, our Father, King. Father, I thank you that, again, you give us ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts to receive what your word, what the Master, Yeshua, is speaking to us today as we study your word, Father, as we gain understanding to what he has called us to be and do as his Talmudim, Father, in the time that we live, Father, in the time that he placed us in, Father. May we be faithful to do and to be obedient to your word, Father, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Okay, we'll open up again with Matthew's verses 7, 1, and 2. After 6 days, Yeshua takes with him Peter and Jacob, or James, Yaakov, and John, his brother, and brings them up to a high mountain by themselves. Now he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as the light. Again, I'm using the Tree of Life version in this study. The Greek word used there for transfigured is metamorpho. It's where we get the word metamorphosis, or to morph. It means to transform, transfigure, change one's form. In the New Testament, it means to be transfigured, used of the Lord's transfiguration on the mount, involving the miracle of transformation from an earthly form into a supernatural form, which is externally denoted by the radiance of his garments and his countenance. This suggests what the bodies of the righteous may be like as a result of the resurrection of our bodies. And that must have been an awesome thing to behold, you know, for these few disciples who were given the privilege to be up there with Yeshua while he was, again, this is just prior to preparing him for his sacrificial death, again, on our behalf, and his resurrection. It was known as, again, the Transfiguration. Yeshua's face shone like the sun, and his clothing became white as light. Again, this is a commentary from the Complete Jewish Bible. Why? So that his glory would not be less than that of Moshe and Eliyahu, who were speaking with them. So here God specifically, I know somebody brought up the question, well, you know, the Bible says we're not supposed to speak to the dead. We're not to, calling the dead forth. Well, number one, Yeshua was not calling them forth. God sent them to Yeshua to speak with him. And we know that Eliyahu, Elijah, never died. He was still in his human form. Remember, he was translated into heaven via God's holy chariot. Moshe had died, but Elijah had not. We're going to go into more details about Elisha and what Yeshua said about him. According to Deuteronomy, Rabbah, which is, again, this is a rabbinical Jewish commentary, when God sent the angel Samael at the end of Moshe's life to fetch his soul, he saw Moshe sitting and writing down the unutterable name of God, and how the radiance of his appearance was like that of a sun. Again, this is a midrash. This is an agadic extension of what the Tanakh itself says about him, that the skin of his face shone. The New Covenant makes its own midrash on this passage in 2 Corinthians 3, 7-18, talking about how we behold his glory and how we are transformed from glory to glory. And every believer has, again, that, you know, a lot of times we don't realize it, but there is a glory upon our face that I believe the world senses. I know that before, you know, I became a believer, when believers came across my path, I saw there was something different in them. There was something different in their face. Matthew 17, 3-5. And behold, Moses, or Moshe, and Elijah, or Eliyahu, appeared to them talking with Yeshua. So here the disciples saw this manifestation, and Yeshua did this on purpose. He brought them there for a reason. Peter responded to Yeshua, "Master, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three Sukkot here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice from out of the cloud saying, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Remember that same manifestation when Yeshua was at the waters going through a mikvah, which was again to prepare him. He was beginning to enter into his messianic ministry, that short ministry. And again, the same thing, the voice from heaven descended upon him like a dove, and he said again, "This is my beloved son." So here they heard the bat kol, the voice of God. Again, what an experience that had to be. "Listen to him, because he is the prophet like Moshe." So they knew, according to Torah, we're going to read that scripture, that that the Messiah would be a prophet as well. It says like Moshe, but really greater than Moshe. Deuteronomy 18:15, "Adonai your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brothers. To him you must listen. This is just what you asked of Adonai your God in Horeb on the day of the assembly, when saying, 'I cannot continue to hear the voice of Adonai my God or see this great fire anymore, or I will die.' Adonai said to me, 'They have done well in what they have spoken.'" Why? Because they realized the glory and the holiness of God. "I will raise up a prophet like you for them from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he will speak to them all that I command him. Now, whoever does not listen to my words that this prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call him to account." And then in Acts 3:22-23, Moses said, "Adonai your God will raise," again quoting the Torah, "Adonai your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brothers. Hear and obey him in all that he shall say to you. And it shall be that every soul that will not listen to that prophet shall be completely cut off from the people." So here the word is confirmed regarding Yeshua being the prophet that God would send. Matthew 17:6-10. When the disciples heard this, they fell down terrified. But Yeshua came and touched them. "Get up," he said, "and stop being afraid." Now, you know, I can imagine, again, I think we would be a little shaking at our knees as well. And lifting their eyes, they saw no one except Yeshua alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Yeshua commanded them, saying, "Do not tell anyone about the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." The disciples questioned him, saying, "Why then do the Torah scholars say that Elijah must come first?" So I'm going to read a couple commentaries. One is a complete Jewish Bible commentary. The other one is a Messianic by Messianic Studies by Fruchtenbaum. Again, just to give you more of an idea of, again, Elijah regarding the first coming of Messiah and the second coming of Messiah. The Torah teachers say that Eliyahu must come first. This teaching is based on Malachi 3:1, so let's go there really quick. Let me just pull up, I'm going to pull up the scriptures here so you can see it. We're going to go to Malachi. Hopefully you can see this. 3, beginning with verse 1. "Behold, I am sending my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. Suddenly he will come to his temple, and the Lord whom you seek, and the messenger of the covenant, the one whom you are desire, behold, he is coming, says Adonai Zevaot. But who can endure the day of his coming, or who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire, like soap for cleaning raw wool. And he will sit as a smelter or a purifier of silver, and will cleanse the sons of Levi and purify them," excuse me, "like gold or silver. Then they will become for Adonai those who present an offering of righteousness." So I'm going to go back to the notes here. So again, this teaching is based on Malachi 3:1 and Malachi 3:23 to 24. Let me go back there. Didn't go read far enough. So let's go back to Malachi 23:24. Behold, I am going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of Adonai. So here again, Elijah the prophet is going to be sent before the coming of the great and terrible day of Adonai. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Else I will come and strike the land with utter destruction. Let's go back to the notes here. So again, this is kept alive in Judaism, or every Passover. If you've ever been to one of our Passover Seders or any Passover Seder, there's always an extra place set for Eliyahu HaNavi, Elijah the prophet, and there's also a song we sing at the end referring to Eliyahu HaNavi, and the door is open to welcome should he be there. 3 points. Number one, Yochanan the Immerser, if you were willing to accept it, was Eliyahu, or came really in the spirit and power of Eliyahu. Two, Eliyahu himself had in fact come first by appearing there on the mountain. And three, Eliyahu may yet appear before Yeshua's second coming. So again, we're looking at these two commentaries so we get a greater understanding of what Yeshua is referring to. Revelations 11:3-6. And I will grant authority to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days dressed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two menorot that are standing before the Lord of the earth. If anyone wishes to harm them, fire comes out of their mouths and consumes their enemies. If anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this way. These two have the power to shut the heavens so that no rain may fall during the days of their prophesying, and they have power over the waters to turn them into blood and to strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they wish. My, or the Messiah's two witnesses, are identified with the two olive trees. So we're going to go to Zechariah chapter 4. We'll look at verse 2, 3, and then 4, 2. Well, we'll just read the whole. It's a short chapter, so beginning with verse 1. Then the angel who had been speaking with me returned and woke me, like a man who was wakened from his sleep. He asked me, "What do you see?" I replied, "Behold, I see a solid gold menorah with its bowl at the top of it, and seven lamps on it with seven pipes for the lamps that are on the top of it. Also, two olive trees are by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on the left side of it." Then I responded by saying to the angel speaking with me, "What are these, my Lord?" The angel who spoke with me responded by asking me, "You do not know what these are?" I replied, "No, my Lord." Then he responded to me saying, "This is the word of Adonai to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my Ruach, says Adonai Zevaot." "What are you, great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you will become a plain. He will bring out the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it." Again the word of Adonai came to me, saying, "The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands will also finish it. Then you will know that Adonai Zevaot has sent me to you. For who despises